It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Police financing issues, minimum staffing policy, and purchasing police radios. Among the topics being discussed by the Pittsburgh City Council this week, we're joined now in studio by our City Council reporter, Noah Brode. Noah, good day.
Good day, Paul.
At least two Pittsburgh City Councilors are looking at trying to sort through some of the confusing details that people have been reading and hearing about with regard to police financing issues. What can you tell us about that?
Right. So there is a series of two bills being introduced by Council President Darlene Harris and Councilwoman Teresa Smith, who is the Public Safety Chair. And these two bills essentially will reform the way that the accounting is done for police secondary employment, which is essentially the off-duty detail work that we've been hearing about police officers doing, which is really where the trouble began in regards to the FBI investigation that you referenced. There was some shady dealing with the city's administrative fee. This money was being lumped together with the officers' payments and then being separated into a separate secret account that was going to be allegedly used by city police officers for their own personal use. That's where the trouble began. So essentially what these two bills do is create a new trust fund that is under the purview of the city, where this special city administrative fee will be diverted directly. So essentially, the fee that the city assesses for companies to hire police officers for their secondary, you know, off-duty detail work, that will be directly placed into this new trust fund, so as to prevent any more shady dealings.
So they're just trying to keep the fee separate from what officers are normally paid when they are on duty.
Right. That was where the trouble began, was that the officers were still getting paid their full amount that they were owed because there was enough money to cover it, essentially. And there was also extra money on top. That money belonged to the city. It was being diverted from this this fund that the police department had purview over, being diverted from that fund, this administrative fee of $3.85 per hour, and put into a secret account from which, you know, there was enough money that the officers in question could draw for their own personal use. And so what this does, again, is essentially it creates a new account in the open light of day, and allows this administrative fee of $3.85 an hour that the city assesses on companies who want to use police officers for extra detail, that administrative fee will go directly to this account. And then the city can do with it what it wills.
Now, as an offshoot of this, as I understand it, the city council is looking at establishing some minimum staffing guidelines to go along with the number of hours that police are using to perform off-duty tasks, which might lower the numbers of people that should be on duty.
Right. So this is all tied together, and there's a lot of, I guess, reform movement going on in the police department right now, the Bureau of Police, I should say. This particular bill from Councilwoman Teresa Smith, the public safety chair, would set, like you said, minimum staffing requirements for each zone. The police department would have to sort of draft these minimum requirements based on what they think they need at any given time. And then from that point, any officer who is on duty would not be allowed to be put off duty, essentially, and taken off the police rolls for any of this extra off-duty detail work, which I think probably should be the case right now. But if it's coming up in this bill, it must not be, which is a cause for concern. And another thing that this bill does is it requires the police department to fill any vacancy within 90 days. They need to promote somebody either from within the department or hire somebody new to replace any vacant position within 90 days. So about 3 months they have to fill any vacancies.
So the concern here, again, is when officers are on duty or they're supposed to be certain officers in a particular zone assigned to certain tasks, there may not always be that full complement of officers because some of these guys are being pulled away to perform non-city oversight
right.
work.
Right. Yes, exactly. And that's what this bill addresses, is you can't leave your job at the police department to go work for the Steelers to, you know, protect, you know, citizens who are attending the Steelers game or anywhere else, any company that might hire a police officer to, you know, provide some extra protection. If they are on schedule for the city, they must stay on schedule for the city. And if they're off duty for the city, then they will be allowed to do this sort of work, I suppose.
We're talking with Noah Brode. He is our city council reporter for 90.5 WESA. And there's another issue that the city council is looking into, and that is with regard to police radios. What's happening there?
Right. So police radios, it's an interesting issue because this is one thing that was looked into as regards to Chief Nathan Harper. It was sort of another sort of shady dealing that that I referenced before, where it appeared a friend of Mr. Harper's was awarded the contract to install radios in police cars. And it seems as though there may have been some favor.
Well, there's some alleged
there.
There's
right.
some alleged impropriety in that the contract was awarded to this friend of Nate Harper's, allegedly, and some incentive was provided to Chief Harper, allegedly. And so in lieu of this, now they're basically, it sounds like, going back to square one.
It appears so. And I don't know much about this post-agenda meeting. It doesn't have much information posted right now. All I know is that they are looking at police radios right now, and they're talking about it with one of the higher-ups in the public safety department. So we'll see what comes of that. Maybe they will just, like you said, go back to square one and look at getting all new police radios. Perhaps they are. I know it's been an issue in the past that city public safety workers didn't have the right radios to communicate with, say, Allegheny County or, you know, other municipalities' public safety workers. And so that's been an issue in the past. That might also be something that they're looking at, trying to sort of normalize the use of radios, all the same frequency, et cetera, radios across the public safety spectrum in southwestern PA.
And this is something we're seeing in a lot of communities around the country. It's a post-9/11 thing. Everybody wants emergency responders, police, firemen, et cetera, to be able to talk to each other on the same frequency in real time. It helps expedite communications. People are getting information across a lot faster that way. And so any idea what kind of particular radios they're looking at here?
No, I don't know in particular. I'm not an expert on the handheld radio, but I do know that, you know, they are trying to sort of streamline this, like you said. The county and the city do operate out of the same building now as regards to public safety response. And so now it looks like they may be trying to get on the same wavelength with radios.
Well put. And something that caught my eye about this is gunshot detection.
Right. Yes. I could not tell you any more about this. This is a meeting about the possibility of installing gunshot detection hardware and software at a cost not to exceed $150,000. And so we'll have to see what this means, although I would suspect that it would be setting up some sort of, you know, device across the city that would be able to let police officers know when a gun is fired and sort of speed up public safety response in that way. Although we'll have to check in with this post-agenda meeting to find out what exactly that is and what it means.
It's fascinating, a bit of hardware there, if depending on how it works. I can see why the city's looking into this. Last but not least, just wanted to touch upon the meeting that was held. There was a public hearing held last week in which citizens were invited and a number of people from different parts of the community spoke to the need for how they felt the search for a new city police chief should progress. The word integrity came up a lot. There's this concern, certainly in the wake of recent events, that the city find a police chief with impeccable integrity. What sorts of conversations do you see coming out of that this week in the city council chambers with regard to what these councilors heard people say?
Well, I can tell you that certainly there will be discussion about this, and that's going to happen around the council table. I haven't seen any legislation on the agendas that will be introduced as regards to hiring a new police chief. However, that may be pending. It may, you know, take them a little while to draft a bill that would sort of set some guidelines. However, I will say that the power in this situation really lies with the mayor. And that brings up another conversation as to whether Mayor Ravenstahl should try to look for a permanent replacement for Chief Nathan Harper and also replace the acting chief right now, Regina McDonald. Or whether he should let McDonald continue out the end of his term and let the next mayor decide on who should be the next police chief.
Noah Broad covers the city council for 90.5 WESA. As always, Noah, great thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, disaster preparedness for college students. That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.